Mark Larson.
Are you as hot as you sound?
News Radio 600 KOGO.
Brother. News Radio 600 KOGO. Good to have you with us here. Don't forget our Sunday show that we call the Mark Larson Sunday Show. And a burst of creative energy. That's Sunday from noon to 1. And on the show this week, Bill Gertz, who broke the story of the missile response we have available to little dictator Kim Jong-il. We had him on early in the week on an exclusive. Senator Bill Frist, who joined us yesterday, and Rowan Scarborough from the Washington Times, author of Rumsfeld's War, with the latest inside the war on terror. So just seeing one item here out of Afghanistan again, that the Taliban, who apparently they've hired, is Baghdad Bob working for them? Suddenly they've got more PR that is eagerly lapped up by the international media. Taliban says it has beheaded four Afghans, calling them spies for U.S.-led forces. Now, keep in mind that Zawahiri came out yesterday and put out this early summer recording saying, please now, go out and keep killing people. They must have hired a PR firm. They must have gotten Baghdad Bob, who was standing there as the tanks were behind him. Remember, you know, the Americans are not here in Iraq. Pay no attention to the American tanks behind me. And yeah, the Taliban just on their offensive. They're, anyway, it's all there. And I mentioned later on in the show, and I'll tell you, I'm trying to decide where I want to do this. Maybe at the end of the show for more dramatic effect. I got an email from an officer friend of mine, one of the top officers over in Afghanistan. Got it last night. I read it twice. And the second time I read it, it made me cry again. And just thinking about it gets me choked up. He finally had enough about the mainstream media, CNN, John Kerry, and the whole bit, and just let it rip. And in fine fashion. So I'm going to share that later on in the show today, just in case you want to know what's really going on the ground. Now, speaking of knowing what's on the ground, what's happening, in Washington, D.C., the land of great mysteries, Brian Bilbray, congressman now, back at work for a couple of weeks here. Brian, you still want the gig?
Absolutely.
Okay, just you haven't burned out yet, because sometimes there's that buyer's remorse. You get there and go, I did what?
No, absolutely. Okay. It's been great. Actually, I don't think I've ever been welcomed any place as much as I have been welcomed to back into the Republican fold and the House of Representatives, and even the Senate, and the President, which I've had major disagreements with, have been very, very surprisingly very welcoming.
Let me ask you about before we get to the issue of illegal immigration and making progress on that, and no bill being better than a bad bill between the Senate and the House. I'm looking at the comments from Senator Hillary Rodham Clinton there on the other side of the Capitol Hill building, conceding today that Democrats are, quote, struggling on Iraq. She says, quote, they're openly struggling with a lot of the difficult issues. But she says that's better than the GOP's hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil. They clearly have not figured out what to do with this because they're on the wrong side of it. And in fact, Republicans have realized here, especially in the last couple of weeks, you know what? We don't need to worry about trying to play to the pollsters here and try to avoid, because there were some people, as you know, saying, oh, don't even talk about it. You know, as a Republican, don't talk about what's going on in Iraq or Afghanistan, because the other side would prefer they could just give you body counts and that would be it. So they're mystified, aren't they?
Well, the problem they have is, be it national defense or homeland security, they have no credibility. They've created their own legacy of always being against a strong defense, always blaming America first for whatever happens. So when they stand up and say, hey, we really do care, everybody says, oh, yeah, right. They've got decades of digging this hole to have to back up into. And anytime somebody you've got this bleeding heart lib that can stand up and say, oh, I'm for a strong defense, and it is so counter to everything everybody has learned, Democrat, Republican, or Independent, over decades, that it is going to take them a long time to reinvent themselves so they can have some credibility when it comes to national defense.
Brian Bilbray with us on our news line on News Radio 600 KOGO. Let's talk about the other part of national defense, which has to do with securing the borders. I mean, it's sounding more and more like what you and many of us have been saying for years is being heard, at least to an extent. We had Senator Bill Frist with us yesterday. He was talking, I think, a little more like he was speaking back in March. Now, he's not perfect on this yet by any means, but he was saying it the same way that he did before all the touchy-feely stuff with the McCain-Kennedy bill in the Senate. So protecting our own borders and having national sovereignty, more and more people, even some of the intelligentsia, have realized, at least on the conservative side, that, okay, we've got to enforce and secure the borders first, then we'll talk about everything else. Now, with that in mind, the big word this week was, well, there's not going to be any bill between the Senate and the House of Representatives. My feeling is no bill is better than a crummy bill. Is that where you see it, or is there something else we need to know?
Anything's better than rewarding 12 million people with breaking our laws. Actually, there was somebody, there's been a cute term that somebody told me about, that they call this now the Bill Bray Shuffle, when all these guys who are moving away from amnesty and trying to say, well, I didn't mean it, being able to say, we saw what happened in the 50th, and I'll tell you something, I feel really excited about the fact that the whole nation was watching the 50th, and the 50th District of California sent a clear message that amnesty, friends don't let friends give amnesty. And I'll tell you something, no, anything that looks like a compromise with the Senate on amnesty is dead on arrival. So I think the term that we need to use now is the alternative. And I'm going to be meeting with Lindsey Graham on Tuesday. We had a reunion of our class. They had a nice dinner, welcomed me back as back into the fold. And everybody looked at Lindsey, and I said, Lindsey, I'll sit down with you, and let's work out a bill,
yep,
but it cannot have amnesty. And he says, let's sit down. And so Tuesday we're supposed to be meeting to try to get our heads together to get something that we can get through the House and the Senate.
Now, there's still a lot of work to do on this, obviously, as this moves forward and people talk it to death sometimes. I'm looking at one story I picked up here out of Nebraska, because the other day we were talking to Marsha Blackburn, who you know is there in Congress from Tennessee. She gets it. She understands this issue of illegal immigration, and she's in Tennessee. But some other areas of America are a little slow on this. This item says that Nebraska Republicans will be gathering tomorrow at this GOP conclave, and they think they're going to not even talk about the immigration issue, the illegal immigration issue. Senator Chuck Hagel and Governor Dave Heineman headline the marathon speaking schedule, it says, and the Resolutions Committee chairman says, there's no plans to really present a resolution on this. We already have language in the platform that says we support, welcome, and encourage the assimilation of all legal immigrants, and then kind of says, let's try to stem the tide of illegal immigration. So there, you know, some places they're waking up to this. Other places think that it's only a California, Nevada, and California, Arizona, and Texas problem. So how do you get through to all those the knuckleheads who aren't quite hearing it yet?
Well, actually, I give them the notice that, you know, after working 5 years for the Federation for American Immigration Reform, Nebraska is going to hear it real loud, because the packing plants that have been hiring illegal aliens are going to get hit with anti-racketeering lawsuits as we speak, that the governor of Nebraska is going to get one heck of a wake-up call that the illegal immigration issue is not only on his front doorstep, it's sitting in his packing plants in his living room, that these issues are going to come to a head, and that you really got to be counted, that are you for the rule of law and against illegal aliens, or are you willing to sell out your children's birthright?
All right, got some questions for you here. Brian Bilbray with us on News Radio 600 KOGO. Mark Larson, let's go to David. Welcome to COGO. Hi.
Hi, Mark. How you doing? Yeah, I had a question for Brian. Why don't we just enforce the current laws instead of wasting time trying to redo the same laws that are already in place?
Absolutely. Look, you're absolutely right that this White House and the Clinton White House are absolutely violating the trust and the constitutional responsibility to enforce the existing laws. What we hope to do is to eliminate every excuse for anybody to not play by the rules and when you hire illegals. But when you get the state of California is now talking about spending millions of dollars on health care to illegal aliens, and which is violation of the separation of powers, because immigration is a federal issue. My kids to this day are paying out-of-state tuition because I refuse to show a document that illegal aliens don't have to show to go to college.
I don't see how more laws are going to solve the problem is my problem with the whole thing.
Let me show you one way we make it better. There are 31 different documents to figure out if somebody's legal to work in the United States. Now, I think you would agree with me that we should be able to have one and only one document that anybody who's qualified, that the federal government gives them that document or that ID to show that they're legal to work here. So you make it so simple. But when you have 37, they always play this excuse of, well, it's been tampered, it's been compromised, and so you eliminate that. So you eliminate this cop-out that the administration's doing about not cracking down on the people. The source of illegal immigration is illegal employment. That's what we got to hit the employers.
Yep. All right. Appreciate the call, David. Thanks. Let's go to Jan in El Cajon. You're on with Brian Bilbray, Mark Larson on COGO. Hi.
Hi, Brian. You had referred to this in your answer to the previous caller. The issue is California saying that they will not require meet the federal requirement of proof of citizenship for medical care.
Well, for just proof of legal status. Emergency health care has always been on demand, but we're talking about health programs, special Medicaid, government-funded health programs, they're voluntary programs being given to people who are known to be illegal aliens.
And I was just outraged when I heard that California said, well, I'm sorry, we can't comply with that. What can we do about that?
Well, I think one of the things the Republicans got to learn, that no matter how much we like it or not, the Democrats taught us how to do this, and that is if they're going to not follow the law, then we're going to start withholding federal funds to them. That at least we know the federal funds are not being used to pay for subsidizing illegal immigration. And I don't care, right now is a good example that it's taken a year and a half for about 40 students to sue over this in-state tuition for illegal aliens while legal U.S. citizens are being charged out-of-state tuition.
All right.
They have to go through a court system. I think that we ought to go revisit that, and instead of the Senate, which wants to make it legal, I think we ought to crack down and say no federal funding for your colleges if you're going to do this.
All right, Jan, appreciate the call. Brian Bilbray with us. He'll hang over, not having a hangover. I want to make that perfectly clear. He'll be hanging through the break and another segment with us here. Appreciate that. I want to ask you about this, another... Well, it's a south of the border issue. You know, they've had this unprecedented situation where CDF firefighting aircraft have gone over to help put out this fire. First time the Mexican government said, help, our version of Yosemite is burning. Can you help on this? I got an email from concerned listener Kim. Says, Canada, Mexico, and U.S., this thing's getting closer and closer. Imagine this. Your American firefighter hubby gets sent to a third world country with hostile people who've been known to yell, die, gringo, we want our land back. Gee, that's swell. If my husband sent, I told him to refuse to go. He's under no obligation to fight fires for a foreign third world corrupt country. Disgusted in San Diego. So that she's upset with the CDF. And, how far do we go with this?
I think that there's always cooperative efforts. We have law enforcement that's going down on the beta team along the border and everything else. But I think as long as they're over U.S. commands, I don't see any problem with joint operation. But I think we darn well got to be careful that when we do spend the money, we're doing it to help protect the U.S. side. And I think you and I know that we've had good examples of where fires can start on one side and threaten
the other. This one's farther down, though, ways down. It's more deep in the heart of Baja, anyway. We'll talk more about that coming up. Brian Bilbray with us.
Yeah, that sounds like a courtesy that we may not be able to afford.
Yeah, we're doing and then if something happens, heaven forbid. So that's the rub on that, why a lot of people are concerned, and I don't blame him. More coming up with Brian Bilbray, congressman with us. Still loves the job. It's been a couple of weeks. He loves it.